You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Everything that is broken in our country can be fixed. Every problem can be solved. And every hurting family can find healing and hope. Our citizens deserve this and so much more. So why not join forces and finally get the job done and get it done right?
That was the president last night joining us on the line to talk about the president's address and how it went over. Ed Henry, Fox News chief national correspondent. Good morning to you, Ed.
Good morning. I think you said it perfectly about the bus. I think the bus was backed up a couple of times just to make sure that he got them.
I mean to tell you, when Van Jones, I don't want to talk about another network, but when Van Jones goes on and says he could well have made his speech here that makes him an 8-year president, that's pretty high praise even from Democrats.
It is. And you know what, Brian, you've been around long enough, and Mary, you know this, that conventional wisdom is so ridiculous, because 24 hours ago, the conventional wisdom was this is a White House that's in crisis mode and things are falling apart. And oh gosh, if he doesn't at least hit a single or maybe a double, you know, he's almost done already. And that conventional wisdom was ridiculous. And I think we got to be careful over the next couple of days not to now turn it around like, oh boy, he's Reagan. Slam dunk is coming. Tax reform, Obamacare, the whole deal.
Yeah.
I think that would be ridiculous as well. But I think what he proved last night with one speech is that he is somebody who can be in command, can be presidential. We don't have to just focus on the tweets and all the rest. But I wouldn't want to shy away from the fact of saying that he laid out an agenda that is actually very doable and would be getting some big things done that I think, you're right, scares the heck out of Democrats. Because if he can find a way, President Trump, to unite the country enough to get major tax reform done and cut the taxes, but also structurally change taxes in this country, as he talked in the campaign, and then not just repeal, but actually replace Obamacare and make health care in this country, God forbid, better, which Democrats don't believe he's going to do, but maybe he actually will put a plan together to do it. This is somebody who could be the next Reagan. I underline could be. But as you know better than anyone, there's a lot of hard work that can be done there in the halls of Congress to get this stuff done.
Let me, though, ask you about that, and I focus on this too much, but it is important. You know, the tone and tenor of his speech was very different. This president often has interesting things to say, but then in the way he delivers the thing, and sometimes a rather bombastic way, it does turn a lot of people off. We didn't see that last night. Do you think that they're making a decided change? Will the old Trump sort of fade into the background and we'll see more of this Trump?
No. I
don't either.
Great point. I think, you know, I go back to what Corey Lewandowski said early in the campaign, and obviously got fired, so take it for what it's worth, but he's still in the Trump orbit. He was the first campaign manager, and he always said, let Trump be Trump. I think at the end of the day, it becomes inauthentic if the sort of teleprompter Trump we saw last night is the one we see every day. I don't really think that's possible. I don't think he can change his stripes at this point. He is bombastic. He's tough. He wants to punch back. All of that. But I think what he proved last night is he understood the moment. He understood that, you know, he wasn't on Twitter last night. He was for over 1 hour speaking, by the way, not really to the Congress, as you know better than anyone. He was going around those folks. And he had a massive audience of tens of millions of people who don't follow the Beltway gossip every day about what did he tweet now and what does this mean and who's up and who's down. Instead, he, you know, went directly into the living rooms and the laptops last night and said, I've got a program and I'm going to implement it. And either you're going to be on board or not. So I guess my point is, that I think he realized last night that this was a different kind of moment. And as you say at the top, he hit a home run. I mean, talking about the Navy SEAL Ryan Owens, who tragically died in that mission, and kind of seizing that story back by saying, look, people are nitpicking me now. I've talked to General Mattis, I've talked to others, Secretary Mattis, and we got incredible intelligence out of that, and we're going to show that in the days ahead. He's obviously got to back that up. But here's his widow, and that moment was remarkable, and that's the kind of thing that a Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton could do in these big speeches. It doesn't mean he's not going to tweet today, but I think if he can find a better balance than he had in the first month or so, where he rises to the occasion in these presidential moments, as you said at the top, Democrats are going to be a little bit nervous about his leadership.
Ed, who writes his speeches? I had heard his inaugural speech was a lot of him, that he wrote the bulk of his inauguration speech. Who writes his speeches now? Is this Trump speaking, or is this someone speaking for him?
Well, I think, and that gets back to Brian's last point, you still hear Trump throughout. But Stephen Miller, the former aide to Jeff Sessions, who's now the Attorney General, is really the chief speechwriter and the person who kind of channels the president from what we hear inside the West Wing in terms of laying out both the policy side and the approach. And then I think, you know, as any president, Democrat or Republican, goes through a lot of different drafts, and I think that's where the president gets involved and adds his own voice. This is Brian was saying a moment ago, I mean, this is not a president who gives the kind of speech he gave last night every day. No president does, but especially not this one, because I do think that if he all of a sudden just started speaking like the president last night and had that kind of rhetoric on a regular basis, he would no longer connect with those folks in Scranton that went mm-hmm. from Clinton voters to Trump voters.
Maybe so.
You know, there's an important balance there. And if he all of a sudden got away from the bombastic New Yorker, people like that. People, I mean, I know you said before, Brian, you know, it absolutely turned some people off. But obviously it turned some others on and said, mm-hmm. wait a second. He has gone into the Beltway mm-hmm. and scared the heck out of everybody, by the way. Not just Democrats, but a lot of those Republicans last night who were sitting on their hands before the speech, what kind of Trump we're going to have. They were on their feet early on because he also surprised people with that call for unity at the top. And look, you know, calls for unity and rhetoric can wind up being empty if you don't follow through. And that's why I think, as much as I didn't believe the hype before that he was in crisis mode, I'd be careful about believing the hype that he's Reagan until he actually follows through. I mean, I think the calls for unity were wonderful, but he's going to have to actually do the dirty work and get down with Paul Ryan and get down with Chuck Schumer, by the way, and get some deals done. And that's a lot of hard work ahead.
I just want to switch gears here quickly. You have a new book that is going to be released next month called 42 Faith. Can you just tell us briefly what it's about?
Absolutely. It's something that delves deeply into the faith of both Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Dodgers, who signed him, obviously, to his first contract. This April 15th will be the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's first game, and obviously very important moment in civil rights history, baseball history. But in my book, I assert that it's also an important moment in terms of faith, because both Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey had a deep faith in God, and I think that was one of the key ingredients that sort of sustained both of them to one of the biggest challenges in American history. So thanks for mentioning it.
It's totally different than what you do,
right,
you know, for a living. This is just a totally different venture.
From covering all these big stories, you know, sometimes it's nice to have something else that you're working on that has nothing to do with this. I spent a lot of time at the Library of Congress, where both Jackie Robinson's and Branch Rickey's papers are. So people in your audience can go down to the Library of Congress on a Saturday and read some wonderful history over there. But I hope they read my history on April 4th.
All right. Very
best
quickly,
of luck with that.
Before you go, just let me ask one quick question. The anchors met with the president yesterday, mm-hmm. and they came out saying that the president may be open to some immigration compromise.
Yeah.
And they said this came from a White House official. what would you draw from that? I mean, you weren't in the room.
Yeah, I wasn't in the room, but I don't know. I think that official's initials may be DT.
Yeah, I believe you may be
right. DJT. Yeah, I think the anchors come out and say, you know, a senior official told us. I think the president wanted to get it out there. And look, it set the table perfectly for last night because it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, wait a second, he wants to kind of move to the middle a little bit on immigration reform. He wants unity. And then I think he actually backed it up, not just on immigration, but a range of subjects in the actual speech. But as you know, there are going to be people on the right saying, is this amnesty? The details are going to want will be what matters.
We're way over. I got to go, Ed, but thank you so much. I greatly appreciate
that. Love coming on.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.